No hard numbers yet, but officials with Montana Resources estimate that the number of dead geese is higher than first thought.
People worked for generations for the Anaconda Copper Company. Frankly, died for the Anaconda Copper Company. It's a long time ago, but to have corporations again coming into our state and wanting to take over our politics, I had no idea just how deep the story would get.
This is gonna be a mother son of a bitch. It's fine. Yeah. Just hold on. Leave it out here. If it rains, it'll be a blessing.
My wife and I still farm. We don't have a hired man. The kids come out once in a while, but it's basically us doing the work.
Same system our forefathers did. They worked their real jobs, and then they went to Washington, D.C., and they made laws that affected the whole country. Montana still carries on that tradition in their legislature.
They told me to win this district, you have to walk and knock on doors. That first door was the hardest thing. I'm going, really? I have to knock on these doors? I got to talk to people I don't know? But, you know, I did it, and I walked that whole district 3 times.
Legislators in Montana are citizen legislators. I had to clean the legislative papers out of this back of this pickup because this is kind of my mobile office. We get paid only when we're serving in the Capitol, so that's basically 90 days every other year. The rest of the time, we're just like everyone else.
We're shopkeepers and tavern owners and lawyers and stay-at-home moms and outfitters and guides, and we come up here representing our part of Montana.
I'm definitely not the first teacher from Butte High to serve in the legislature, and I'm not the only teacher serving right now. So there's kind of a legacy of doing this.
You take with you to the legislature what you know and who you are. I spend a whole lot of my time as a private citizen looking at finances, and I am the finance chair for the state of Montana.
It was really an honor to be sworn in to represent House District 76. Please, pay attention, get involved, so we can make a difference.
Secret hallways.
Hey, is this John? John Adams here. I covered the legislature for the Great Falls Tribune.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you came into my office shortly after you lost your primary race. You showed me a bunch of these flyers that have been sent out against you.
Oh, yeah, I remember those because I've still got them. I was an early victim.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. So one of the things that I'm doing in addition to...
I remember John Ward coming in and telling me how he was attacked like this. At the time, I was thinking, well, that's politics, man. You know, here's a longtime conservative who runs a porta potty business. I don't think he knew at the time, I certainly didn't know, the level of coordination that this wasn't just politics.
You got to understand, obviously, I was really pissed off.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And voters in your district had never seen something
not,
like that.
No. This was a whole new genre of political attack to shock the public right at the last moment to leave them like, God, we can't take it. You know, we can do better. We don't want to take a chance on this guy. You know.
And it worked.
Right. John Wayne Gacy, all the implications of this card, he's my friend. Never been in Montana, ever. John Ward believes monsters like this deserve to live.
That was 3 days before the election. There's no time to respond, and I didn't have any kind of money to be able to respond to this sort of thing. We were in shock.
Mothers Against Child Predators.
As far as you know, is there such a group as Mothers Against Child Predators?
It only existed for that purpose.
Mothers Against Child Predators was not about mothers at all. It was two people and a lady treasurer on a wholly different issue, sending flyers into a Catholic area, and it was effective. Because folks like my mother picked up an ad, and they can't see who Mothers Against Child Predators are. They can only see that mothers don't like this guy. Well, dark money is the advertising where you don't know who's paying for the ads. Just simply got to hold these up and say, who's paying for this? Does anybody know anybody in these groups? Who's paying for this? What are they attempting to buy?
I'm a huge advocate of free speech, the right to be able to freely speak. But these groups were abusing that. They had taken free speech and they were speaking from the darkness.
I don't know who they are. I don't know how to fight them. I don't know how to argue with them. I can't debate them. I can't interview them. I can't pick up the phone and say, hey, what's your interest in candidate X? Because I don't know who they are. We'll never know.
You're seeing dark money efforts in Montana, like Western Tradition Partnership. That's becoming more and more of a strategy by people who have a very specific policy interest or ideological interest.
We're a leading resource state. We're a leading water state. And if you control politics in Montana, you potentially control those resources. Let big money use dark money and this curtain of secrecy to basically buy a legislature or buy a state or eventually, ultimately, you know, control public policy in this country. I just can't see that happening. It won't be by the people for the people. It'll be something else, you know? And I think that how can we stand by and let this happen?
Campaign finance is like the gateway issue to every other issue that you might care about, whether it be education or tax reform or foreign policy. Campaign finance is at the heart of all of the policy decisions that are being made. Watergate, at its heart, was a campaign finance scandal. The money to pay for the burglars literally came in suitcases full of cash to the White House, to the Nixon re-election campaign. People were enraged that there were clear violations of the law by the President of the United States and his attempt to cover it up. And there was no place in the federal government that enforced or investigated those matters. So they needed an FEC, the Federal Election Commission. After Watergate, I was in California as the chair of the Fair Political Practices Commission, the equivalent of the Federal Election Commission on the state level.
We're here to announce today that a record fine has been levied against a dark money network of political nonprofits.
People knew about the Koch network, but nobody had ever seen it. And then after investigation, we found out even more how these groups operate to try to hide the sources of the funding.
In 2013, the California Campaign Finance Agency cracked down on some prominent nonprofit groups. 2 weeks after that, Bravel arrived at the FEC.
The composition of the FEC is 6 members, no more than 3 of any political party. When I first got there to the FEC,
I thought that we would be able to work together on issues such as disclosure and transparency. But it didn't take long to realize that wasn't going to happen.
At the federal level, there's the FEC, and then in each state, there's an agency that regulates money and state politics.
In Montana, the Commissioner of Political Practices is housed in this little house, really. It's a tiny little office. I doubt if there's a smaller office in state government. The very legislators that are investigated by the office determine its funding. So it's always been grossly underfunded. They never have enough people. They never have enough equipment. It's sort of the forgotten stepchild of Montana government.
Montana being a sparsely populated state with a resource-rich base, we've had a history of corporate exploitation in our past. And because of that, the state is real sensitive to who is involved in and who funds our elections. Even though our staff is very small, we see our role as acting on behalf of Montanans to preserve the public trust in the election process and to promote governance. Yes, we do. I'm an attorney, and I'm the commissioner. And then we have an attorney who's our litigator, an investigator, and then we have three people who handle all of the candidate filings and all of the reports that are mandated by Montana law. We require complete disclosure, and we prohibit corporations from contributing directly to candidates' campaigns.
In Montana, a corporation through a political action committee can only give the same amount as an individual. For a governor's race, that $630 isn't going to bribe someone. It isn't going to make them change their behavior. But the question is, if it's $1 million and supposedly it's going to be run for or against you, could it?
When they created a citizen legislature, the idea was that it would be those of us who live in these places to come and represent the communities that we live in, to make decisions about the direction we want the state to go in. You know, the number one rule of political or watchdog reporting is follow the money. If I want the future generations to be able to have access to the things that I value so much here in Montana, then it's going to require a strong, independent, fearless watchdog media to keep an eye on the people in power. The state has a long history of corruption. All you have to do is drive through Butte.
Hello and welcome to the Berkeley Pit Viewing Stand. The pit grew to become not only the largest truck-operated open-pit mine in the United States, but also the richest copper mine. And by the turn of the century, the copper produced from this hill, called the richest hill on Earth, not only electrified America, but also financed the Industrial Revolution.
You're looking at one of the largest Superfund sites in the world. It's the leading bad example for what not to do. This is the result of open pit mining after the pumps have been turned off and the groundwater is able to come back in. This water level is about the acidity of your stomach acid and rises continually over time. In 1995, several hundred geese were confused in a storm, sought shelter here on this body of water, and then died. It was pretty awful. Pretty embarrassing, really.
The headwaters of the Columbia River is a giant toxic pit. And it's 100 feet from reaching a critical point where it starts spewing poison acid water. Potentially one of the greatest environmental disasters threatening the entire Pacific Northwest. We are in that position because of out-of-control corporations buying our politics.
And now we are basically handing it back over to them. We're doing it again.
Montana was a state that literally every level of our political system was dominated by corporate interests.
Mining was the first industry really to come into the state. And the Copper Kings made a lot of money, and they literally bought elected officials.
The Anaconda Company, they were the largest employer by far, but they had enormous political clout because they controlled the legislature and they controlled most of the newspapers in the state.
All of this money concentrated in the hands of very few people, and they used that money to buy influence, political influence, to buy judges. They owned the state of Montana.
So a copper baron from Butte buys himself a seat in the United States Senate, and Montana voters, by citizens' initiative, decide that they're not ever going to have that again and write the best campaign finance laws in the United States.
And they passed a law that basically said that corporations couldn't do that anymore.
By citizens' initiative, they passed the Corrupt Practices Act of 1912. What that said is corporations can't make contributions in our state elections.
And Montana's been the leader in campaign finance since 1912.
And so 100 years later, along comes Citizens United.
All right, the breaking news from the Supreme Court now, a ruling just in about the future of election funding. The court ruling...
There will be major changes in the way political campaigns are funded following a landmark Supreme Court ruling today.
We'll hear argument today in case 08205, Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission.
The U.S. Supreme Court today overturned laws on the books for nearly a century and ruled that corporations can spend freely now on political campaigns. Those who like this decision say it's a victory for free speech. Those who don't say campaigns will now be drowning in corporate cash and influence.
It was widely interpreted to strike down any state law with corporate spending bans.
The overturning of our 1912 decision on corrupt politics, I think, is a corruption unto itself.
And I find it really sad that Montana had a law, you know, on its books going back 100 years to fight this, because we saw it as a problem with the Copper Kings in Butte.
People in this state have a good sense of history about the excesses of capitalism, because that's essentially what it is. It's in your face here. You can't really ignore that.
Welcome back to The Ed Show. So here's a map of the 24 states with their own laws restricting corporate spending before Citizens United. After Citizens United, only one state, Montana, defended its own law.
Montana said it is still our law. They said that was about federal elections. This is about us. We know our history, and we are sticking with the law that we know we need. Say hello to American Tradition Partnership, though. They, in fact, sued the state of Montana, saying that that Citizens United ruling made Montana's Corrupt Practices Act invalid.
Because of Montana's history, we developed a series of laws that were extremely restrictive in terms of corporate participation in our elections. And so when the Citizens United decision came out, that had a direct effect on the state of Montana. That decision put our laws directly in conflict with federal First Amendment law. And so that's how Montana became ground zero for the campaign finance challenges, which have resonated now all the way across this country.
The case was litigated in the district court and then came up on appeal to the Supreme Court. That case was orally argued in these chambers.
Mr. Attorney General.
The then Attorney General Steve Bullock defended the Montana law.
What we have in this record is an act that was passed by the people to address corporate corruption. And it's more than just the history, it's also the present.
The Supreme Court has stated in Citizens United and in other cases that that liberty includes the free speech that is in our First Amendment.
Margot Barg was the attorney for American Tradition Partnership. Margot is an attorney in the law firm headed by and named for Art Wittig, and Art Wittig is the current majority leader of the Montana Senate.
said, we are here today because the statute singles out corporations and prohibits them from doing something that everyone else in Montana can do.
Council, do corporations have the right to vote?
Corporations do not have the right to vote.
So there's a distinction there. What about habeas corpus, privacy, other rights that are provided in our Constitution? They don't apply to corporations.
Our Montana Supreme Court ruled in favor of Attorney General Bullock and said that Citizens United did not invalidate Montana's Corrupt Practices Act.
This sets up an opportunity for the issue of unlimited corporate spending in elections, made famous by Citizens United, to once again be reviewed by the full court.
Another case closely watched today deals with the influence of money in politics. We have a team of correspondents.
We find out in just about 30 minutes whether the Supreme Court is going to hear the Montana campaign finance case. The stakes are huge for both sides.
People who pay attention to this stuff say that Montana's attorney general has a pretty good shot at chipping away at one of the most reviled Supreme Court rulings in history.
This has got to be an anxious moment for Steve Bullock in Montana. He could be at the forefront of the vanguard of trying to limit Citizens United, fight the corporate union money in elections. So he's no doubt sitting in his office waiting for a call.
Tonight, the Supreme Court answers, is there a limit to money in politics?
22 states and the District of Columbia backed Montana's efforts, but in a short half-page decision today, the court's five most conservative justices said the state law violated the free speech rights of corporations.
The five members of that Citizens United majority slapped them down in less than one page, giving them the back of their hand.
No indication that any of the five justices in the majority in Citizens United had changed of heart and were thinking that they really needed to go back and take another look at that decision.
The court appears to believe that the act of giving money to a political candidate is essentially the same thing as holding up a sign, which is, of course, a core First Amendment activity. And if you believe that they're both core First Amendment activities, that means you can't really stop them or regulate them, and I think that's where the court is heading. That limits on any sort of contributions are doomed.
Now, I stand obviously on the far side, and I don't believe that there's too much money in politics. So it should be unlimited. And what has really troubled me as an attorney who practices in the free speech field is the willingness of the citizenry to just abdicate to the federal government the ability to regulate participation in our government and to restrict our ability to speak freely. And people are crying out, we need more government regulation. We need government to regulate our lives and our ability to think and our ability to speak. So I think the Supreme Court got it right, and I think that's healthy for our country.
American Tradition Partnership, I mean, you're looking at this case. In addition to that, they've sued us trying to get rid of all disclosure, trying to get rid of all contribution limits. Any truth in advertising laws that we have, the attempt is to get rid of all regulation. Scary time.
In the last 4 days, I've traveled over 1,700 miles around the state. Easily. This election is a crossroads, and this election matters.
I think that the people who want to keep dark money have a real problem, which is the public does not agree with them. The public doesn't like where we are now. What you were going to see is people saying, gosh, we should put this on the ballot.
This week, Montana Common Cause announced a new ballot initiative that's intended to oppose corporate campaign spending.
We don't believe that corporations are people.
People like you and I are going to decide elections, not unlimited, secret, out-of-state corporations.
Montana's being exposed to more advertisements than any other Senate race in the country. total inundation of the airwaves.
John Tester.
John Tester.
Tester collected and wanted Montanans to pay the price.
John Tester. John
Not
Tester.
By a long shot.
John Tester.
We've got to stop this tidal wave from taking over our country. Our democracy is at risk.
With the extreme amount of money in the 2012 election, I think it was, more than anything, a harbinger of things to come. There's going to be more money.
We've seen the rise of dark money groups, the target candidates, yet refuse to tell the voting public who they really are and what they really represent. The entire nation is looking to us to continue our fight to preserve our citizen democracy.
A source of mine had come across something that I might be interested in, and we met at a local Helena watering hole late at night. And what they showed me was 18 pages of printouts, mostly emails. The people on this email list were the current leadership team of the Montana Senate.
The top legislative story of the week has to be what looks like a serious rift in the Republican caucus between moderates and conservatives. And this is a rift that was revealed by some emails the Great Falls Tribune made public this week.
They were discussing what they were going to do to purge the Republican caucus of members they deemed too moderate.
Stop being an actor in the Alice in Wonderland play that this is not expansion of Medicaid. It is. You vote green, you're voting for expansion of Obamacare, you're voting for a complete government takeover of our health care system.
What became clear too is that these divisions kind of fell along those primary fights that we saw. Those people who were on the receiving end of the dark money attacks were on one side, and those people who were benefiting from the dark money attacks were on the other side. So I want to know where the blood's going to get spilled. I want to know who's getting targeted the hardest, where the money's being spent, like if you're seeing it already.
In the 45-day sprint, they will do everything they can to hang my head over their mantle.
So what they do, whether it was Whitaker or whoever, and they'll sit very quiet. They don't want you to get active. They don't want you to get up. Yep. They wait till the last 30 days, because then it becomes all about money.
The conventional wisdom is that Citizens United is a horrible thing, that it opened the door to this corporate spending, the dark money, all this other stuff. What if what it really did was it just forced people to have to just work harder?
The magnitude of the money actually destroys your freedom of speech. You could give me $170 for a campaign contribution, and that's all you can give me. And yet somebody in North Carolina can spend $60,000 in the same election to beat me? How have we preserved any freedom of speech?
I don't know what their end game is. I can say their soundbite. We want smaller government, more liberty, and more freedom. Okay, so do I.
What do you mean by that?
Now tell me how. Everybody, and you yourself included, want smaller government, less taxes, more freedom. Everybody wants it. Define for me how you're going to get there, and then I'll decide if that's the proper plan for those.
Or things. What do you mean exactly by yes?
How? What are you going to cut? Does what goes it? Away in your world of smaller government? Is it public schools? Well, then I don't support that.
Senator Lou Jones and Representative Rob Cook, they are on a crusade against dark money.
It's important to understand that really the ideology that dark money supports isn't Republican at all. It's really a libertarian ideology.
Okay.
A good example is within the last 6 months, the extremes no longer even, they won't say public school. It's now government school. And, it's an ideology that's foreign to Montanans. If you talk to my constituents, they want their schools, they want their hospital, they want their sewers to work, they want their water systems to work. And somewhere this dark money ideology has attempted to divorce us from the people we represent.
We began to look at and understand dark money was a tool. I was bluntly told that I was going to be targeted.
In the primary. We're talking about Republicans against Republicans in the primary.
If you don't vote the way they want you to vote in the legislature, they will target you the next primary. Even if you're a conservative Republican. But if you don't vote the way they want you to vote, then they say, well, we're going to target you, and that's what they do. And then they send out all these mailings. They exaggerate their voting records. They don't care if they lie.
These things all came in at the last minute. This election, my wife and I probably got 6, 7, 8 of these every day the last month of the campaign. Boom, here's one on taxes, here's one on health care, sex ed, guns. You know, they call them dark money groups, and that's exactly what they are. We'll never know who the donors were.
We've seen recently the rise of the C4 organization, the social nonprofit organization. They do not have to report their donors.
Dark money nonprofit organizations have sprung up in the wake of Citizens United. We have hundreds of new organizations, thousands of new organizations that are trying to persuade Americans to vote one way and not the other. Americans are barraged by these political advertisements paid for by dark money groups that are funded by who knows whom. We don't even know if they're domestic, frankly. They might be coming from foreign corporations or governments.
This corporation wants to influence our politics, but they don't want the public to know that they're trying to influence our politics because that could hurt their bottom line, perhaps. So they give money to a dark money group. So they send out all of the mudslinging and the postcards and the things that people hate receiving, flooding their mailboxes. This corporation is not affiliated with all of the dark money spending, because they've essentially laundered it through this. And all of this supports a candidate. When that candidate gets elected, they support the agenda of the corporation. That's the feedback loop for dark money. Corporation funnels money to a PAC. The PAC sends out postcards attacking the opponent of the candidate who they want to get elected. When that candidate gets elected, they support the agenda of the corporation or individual. I mean, this could be done with individual money. It's really, really scary when you think about it, I think, how they can manipulate us through the postcards and through social science research and through analytics and metadata and big data and get us to support their candidates and then get their policy agendas. Then it's not the people controlling the government. It's the government controlled by a corporation controlling the people, which is like super crazy Big Brother, but it's happening, you know? I mean, that's, to me, that's what this is all about. But I think the extreme element understands if you can populate a legislature with a certain number of people who are willing to do whatever you want them to do, you can do whatever you want. And then if you get the governor's office, you are talking about a dramatically different state in a very short period of time. And it's not just Montana. Watching from afar, people kept asking me, what is going on in your home state of Wisconsin? And I kept thinking, yeah, what is going on? Because when I left, it had a progressive tradition, and suddenly something happened, something changed dramatically.
An explosive new report that reveals the extensive influence of corporate cash in U.S. elections through third-party groups that do not have to disclose their donors. Based on 1,500 leaked court documents from an investigation into possible illegal fundraising by Governor Scott Walker. For the third-party group, Wisconsin Club for Growth, a 501c4 organization.
It gives you a window into how these folks operate behind the scenes. It's very, very rare you have an opportunity to pull back the curtain and you actually see how they're talking about things behind closed doors. We when you take a look at an email like this one from one of his chief fundraisers on how to raise money for the Walker recall election, and she writes, here are my quick thoughts on fundraising for the Walker's recall efforts.
Take Koch's money. Get on a plane to Vegas and sit down with Sheldon Adelson. Ask for $1 million now. Corporations, go heavy after them to give. Create a new C4. So I, as a candidate, I can set up one of these C4s, and then when donors come to me, I could say, oh, I can't take all that money, but you can give it to my C4, and my C4 can spend it. Oh, and by the way, I don't need to report it. So you can give me as much as you want. You don't have to say who you are. I don't have to say who you are. And the courts have just made it legal for you to basically bribe me.
That is exactly what the situation is in Wisconsin.
Regardless of what one thinks of dark money, under the Supreme Court's jurisprudence, under all the prevailing laws, this outside dark money is at the very least supposed to be spent independently of candidates. Well, that's not what happened in Wisconsin. These outside dark money groups were emailing with staff of Governor Walker. They were collaborating on what should be in the ads, what should be in the political campaign activities of these outside dark money groups.
Well, these same organizations that were backing Walker were also backing elected Supreme Court judges in Wisconsin. And what ended up happening was the Wisconsin State Supreme Court was essentially stacked with Walker allies. And as this investigation proceeded into Walker's illegal coordination with these dark money groups, this friendly Supreme Court ultimately forced the investigation to come to a close.
A lot of information was produced by the lawyers in these lawsuits. Governor Walker and his team of lawyers convinced the court to seal those records so the public would never know exactly what happened in this case.
And it's really a cautionary tale for the rest of the country.
You can buy the politicians, you can buy the judges.
The moneyed interests have already pretty much bought Congress. I think they pretty much bought the executive office, the presidency. But they can't control the government unless they get the courts. They've got the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court already, but the courts that they really need to get are the state appellate courts, because that's the place where the rubber meets the road in terms of people's rights being enforced, judgments being rendered against corporations that abuse people's rights, that pollute the environment. Those kinds of decisions are made in the Supreme Courts of the states. The big money people know that unless they can get control of those courts, economic domination over those judges is what we're talking about, unless they can essentially buy a seat on the Supreme Court, they can't control those courts.
In Wisconsin, where those outside groups had effectively bought the legislature, the governor, and the Supreme Court, they were able to shut down the investigation. The legislature disbanded the Government Accountability Board. And if it wasn't for the leak of these investigative documents, we wouldn't really have any idea what was really going on. But even though we know, nobody in Wisconsin has ever been held to account for that illegal coordination. Here in Montana, the Commissioner of Political Practices, although underfunded, understaffed, was able to move forward with its investigation. If it wasn't for kind of freak circumstances, let's say, the public may never really have any answers to this stuff.
It was all so secretive, you know, that no one really could prove, I don't think, the connection until the Colorado papers were found.
You can't even make this stuff up. Apparently what happened is one of the individuals involved in this organization, at least the way the story is, was in Colorado, had a bunch of the records for ATP in his car. His car got broken into and all these records were lost.
Some documents that were reported to be those of my client, American Tradition Partnership, that were found in a crack house in Colorado.
A meth house that was being raided by the police, and someone who was there was heading out the window and
grab file boxes with these documents.
And then apparently someone turned those documents over to a state senator in Colorado.
And as I understand it, sent them up to the Commission of Political Practices.
The Commissioner of Political Practices is literally in possession of stolen property and won't give it back. This is just fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating.
Wow, so these are them.
These are them.
Are these the actual boxes that they were, like, recovered?
I think two of them are.
And these, this is what was in that box, in the sleeves. Wow.
But they're flyers from different advocacy groups. Research on candidates. There's got to be something going on here. Especially when you're funding it all behind the scenes and not telling anybody that you're doing it. Fortunately, Montana is also a small enough place that you can pick up when these kinds of things are happening.
Deborah Bonagoski had enough courage to run for office, but at the end of it, Ms. Bonagoski didn't think that the process was fair. And she felt strongly enough about the unfairness of it that she filed a complaint.
And she said, there's just no way that this level of campaigning is only costs
$2,300.
Right.
So she recognized the connection between these things, and she smelled the rotten fish.
Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't think he's the only one getting it.
The critical thing the documents could show is that there's coordination between ATP and the legislators who benefited from the attacks they did on legislators. If they can show there's coordination, that's against the law.
After examining the documents, not only in this particular race, but in other races, it became clear that the candidate didn't write the letters. The candidate didn't identify the list of voters that the letters were being sent to, that was all being done by another entity, by Western Tradition Partnership Corporation.
ATP, the American Tradition Partnership, used to be Western Tradition Partnership. There's a reason for that. They're trying to avoid these disclosure laws. They're basically playing a shell game with the American people.
We had the documents that they were using to try to solicit money. It actually said, you know, Montana has all these rules on corporate contributions and expenditures, and the good thing about this program is you can give as much as you want. No bureaucrat will ever know, and you can just sit back on election night and see the difference you've made.
The print shop described its capacity to send these letters out as a shock and awe electoral bombing campaign. And that is indeed the way it was conducted. But then those letters were timed and coordinated with letters from, for example, Montana Citizens for Right to Work. Coordination is actually a technical term. When coordination happens, an election expense becomes a contribution to the candidate. Because it's a contribution to the candidate, then the candidate is forced to report and disclose. But in this case, the contributions were by corporations. The candidate couldn't accept. That was an illegal contribution. There is sufficient evidence to believe that a campaign violation occurred, and in this case, significant evidence to believe that a very serious campaign violation occurred.
Montana's Commissioner of Political Practices is ruling the conservative dark money group American Tradition Partnership illegally coordinated election activities with a former state legislator.
It felt so good to read what I had known. Too late for me, you know. That's the problem, is that they accomplished their goals. They got their person in that they wanted, and they basically derailed any political aspirations that I would ever have. I decided, you know, I'm gonna, no matter how long it takes, I'm just gonna keep pounding on it.
Modal says the investigation from Bonagoski's complaint is now expanding to include all candidates who similarly worked with ATP in 2010.
One of the nine cases filed against 2010 candidates is the commissioner versus Arthur Wittig.
Wittig faces a court trial on charges Modell brought against him arising out of the 2010 election campaign.
We were able to recruit and appoint pro bono special attorney generals to actually litigate these cases in district court.
Mr. Wittig is the first elected official to be adjudicated as a violator of campaign finance laws in 75 years. The first thing that I did was I drove to Helena and go through those boxes of documents.
Gene Gerusi was retired. He came out of retirement to handle this case and help to prosecute it. He wrote a letter to the other side and said, I'm available every single day to do nothing other than work on this case.
You are seeing individuals who are essentially setting up their own political party, their own structure. They generally support Republicans, but only some Republicans. I think the obvious poster child is the Koch brothers.
Americans for prosperity. America, a nation forged in flame, ignited by a vision for a free society.
They are establishing an outside-the-party political structure with voter contact lists and employees in states and the ability to go out and influence elections.
You and I can ignite change. We can burn through fear and illuminate dreams for those all around us. We cannot be changed. We won't be tamed, and we will not be intimidated. We will make a difference.
What we're seeing with Americans for Prosperity, which is largely funded by the Koch brothers, is an attempt to affect not only who's in office, but how they vote once they're there, where those groups have a nationwide agenda.
Right to work is right for West Virginia.
Dark money around policy development, that's almost more harmful than the elections money. The Seneca in me comes out when I start talking about business plans and politics, because politics is just child's play to businessmen who work internationally. They know how to make things happen, and they know how to manipulate the system.
We got plenty.
Yeah, I know they got them.
So Americans for Prosperity called town meetings in these three legislators' districts on weeknights. Frank Garner. He was singled out along with a couple other legislators for refusing to sign a card pledging to vote against Medicaid expansion. And he and several other legislators said no, they weren't going to sign those. They wanted to see what the bill was and listen to the debate and then make up their mind.
They tried to have a series of town hall meetings in the home districts of some of the people who they intended on targeting. So they would have that person's face come tell Jeff Welburn to stand up to Obamacare, but then they didn't even invite Jeff Welburn to be there. But Jeff Welburn found out about it and showed up.
Nursing services, hospice services, and home health visits are all things that get cut out in order to pay for Obamacare's Medicaid expansion. This comes from the CBO. This is not our research. This is the CBO that it comes, that money has to come from somewhere.
What's going on here? Mr. Welborn, not going to be able to speak?
This isn't a public forum, ladies and gentlemen. You're only going to tell you some BS and you're going to have no chance to talk. You need to leave if you don't have a chance to say something in order to answer your questions.
Well, she's giving us information first.
She's giving us information and they're not going to allow you to speak. Just got finished listening to
this. Well,
I'm sorry. If Jeff Welborn walks, I walk. Bye.
I was told that there's only three things you can learn about the Medicaid expansion. You can learn how you can fight back and find out if it is actually good policy. Those are the three advertised things that we put on our invitation for this event tonight.
It was advertised as a town hall so we can talk about this and engage in critical thinking.
Different definitions of town hall.
In a moment of clarity, that was provided to me by an out-of-state organization a few weeks ago, I was given the opportunity to better understand the impacts of dark money. I recognize the need to stand against those who would hide behind a veil of darkness and try and shape the state into their own image. Senate Bill 289 is a bill that helps to do that, and it will make it a fair fight when the dark money groups come to call.
Next week, there's a bill to fight so-called dark money called the Montana Disclose Act.
It's a bill that would force various groups that take part in Montana elections to disclose every penny they spent and every penny they raised.
Today is our day to bring light to the darkness, to have the courage it takes to hear the cries of the people of Montana. Today is the day for us to tell all those who seek to use dark money to influence our elections that there will be no safe harbor in Montana. I'm asking you to vote green today and to raise the bar on the elections and have the courage to move this forward.
Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, no.
Mr. Chair, 51 representatives have voted aye, 49 have voted no.
Senate Bill 289 has been concurred in on second reading.
According to State Political Practices Commissioner, Modal called the Disclose Act the most important campaign finance reform bill passed by Montana since 1983.
We're in a new era of transparency in Montana.
Voters will have the opportunity to assess what the motivations really are, because they'll have to disclose who writes that check and how much they did spend to influence elections.
When Lee Newspapers had bought the papers from the old Anaconda companies, one of the first things they did is set up a state bureau to cover state government, state political news. We devoted a good share of our coverage to campaign finance issues because of the state's history. 2 days ago, Mike Dennis and I were told they were shuttering the state bureau and they're going to a different way to cover state news.
Late Thursday afternoon, a news story broke that struck some people like a death in the family. Lee Newspapers, which owns five of Montana's largest papers, is closing its state bureau. Montana will lose more than just experienced journalists. It will also lose a great deal of its institutional memory.
After being furloughed three times and having had a pay freeze for most of my career there, I had to reapply for a new job. Either you appreciate the work that I do and you want to keep me on, or you don't. I want to dig deep and do investigations and write long form stories about the things that really matter. So I told them if they didn't want to keep me around, then they could do what they had to do. There's an entire Facebook group out there called Plan B, and it's all about, like, so when you're no longer a journalist, what are you gonna do?
These stories about campaign finances are critical. If they're not covered, it's democracy's loss.
And we bring you live coverage now of a Federal Election Commission meeting this morning.
In 2008, all three Republican commissioners came on brand new at the same time. It never happened before. Critically, they decided that they were going to all vote together all the time.
It says what it says.
Yes.
Once the opinion's rendered, we don't need four votes to then keep it in place and protect that particular situation.
Well, this particular situation has not been presented to the commission before.
I disagree. Do we have a motion?
All three Republicans vote together on every matter of any significance.
But what I didn't know was that there was an even deeper plan.
You could make sure that the commission absolutely did nothing of any consequence.
Aye. Aye. All opposed?
No.
Nay.
Motion fails, 3-3.
And that's what happened. That was exactly what happened.
All in favor of draft B say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
That fails 3-3.
That's not how the agency is supposed to work. And people say, well, it was designed to be 3-3, and it's designed to make sure that one party doesn't ride roughshod over the other. That's true, but it was also designed to enforce the law. I think the whole time I was there, we had one 3-3 tie.
If day fails 3-3, I'd like to adjourn the meeting without objection. So adjourned.
Even a proposal to require corporations to certify that they were not owned by a foreign government if they were going to be spending money in our elections, even that could not get 4 votes at the commission.
The FEC will not enforce the law, and it's known. And as a result, the candidates know that they can either violate the law or stretch it. No one will be held accountable for violating the law.
It really was kind of a cool place to work.
Well, the plan is to move out of my house and to move into my truck. But as of April 1st, I'm out of this place, and this truck will be my home away from, well, it will be my home. I want to take all of the skills, all of the sources, all of the goodwill that I've built up over the last 7 years and figure out a way to make a living on it on my own. So, with that goal in mind, I'm packing up everything. I'm giving away anything that I can give away, selling anything I can sell. I got friends who have cabins that I can stay in. I figure if I can keep my overhead super low, I'll travel around and find stories wherever they might be and report from the road.
In a high-profile campaign law case, the State Political Practices Commissioner has released new documents and filed new allegations in court against a leading Republican legislator.
Well, this is a campaign finance law case, but it's really a conspiracy case, in my view. It was always a conspiracy case. People working together to carry out something that was against the law. Lon Kirkpatrick had been an intern for American Tradition Partnership. She had her emails, even though we were 5 years after the time she'd worked there. She gave me a couple of other names, and in fact, they all had their emails. Those emails have never seen the light of day, and now they're public documents.
So what you're going to be looking at today in those 4 boxes that the public records request was made for are about 14,500 pages.
Okay.
And they're in this form because we produced them to the opposing side, and they're just starting to find out what's in there.
Gotcha. I'll see what I find and...
Okay.
This is really interesting, holy cow. This directly connects the right to work. This kind of outlines their strategy. It's a direct connection between the organization, the policy, and the practice of coordinating campaigns. I mean, they even call it their primary program. They're providing these services free of charge, which is essentially an undisclosed contribution to the candidates. And it looks to me like this was top-down coordination with the goal of getting their policy agenda in the legislature. The National Right to Work Committee, their goal basically is to end labor unions in this country. That has been their goal, and that was what they were doing in states like Iowa and Colorado and in Montana.
Montana is a non-right-to-work state in a sea of right-to-work around us. I always call it right-to-work for less, or right-to-work maybe.
To what extent are you willing to talk about any of this on the record right now?
I can talk about it in the context of national right to work. I cannot mention Wittig.
Okay.
The candidates were vetted personally by oral interview by Christian Lefer.
Really?
Right. Christian Lefer now, in his current Facebooks, says he was working as the full-time communications director for National Right to Work from 2004 through 2011. So he's a National Right to Work full-time person, and he's also the executive director of Western Tradition Partnership. Western Tradition Partnership, AKA American Tradition Partnership, is a front group set up by National Right to Work. The goal is they wanted a non-squishy cadre of elected officials that would follow their instructions when it came time to vote.
So Christian Lefer, an employee of National Right to Work, was behind Western Tradition Partnership and American Tradition Partnership. These were 501c4s. He was also directly involved with direct mail, different consulting firms that provided services to candidates. What we're talking about is a huge network of staff and services and research so that they would provide the votes on the bills. I mean, we're talking about creating laws or changing laws or getting rid of laws.
All of us understand then that money will help you win a race. We also understand that lobbyists go to the legislature and push bills or oppose a bill and so on. What we're not used to is having an entity come in like the National Right to Work to tip the whole program upside down and say, we don't want to have to lobby anyone. We want to own them right from the beginning. We will pick our candidates. We will get our candidates elected. Then we don't have to lobby any of them. We've got it.
The Right to Work involvement in the Montana elections was too important. It had to be reported on. And so I launched the Montana Free Press. We are a news organization that provides hard-hitting, in-depth content to news outlets throughout the state. This is today's front page Bozeman Chronicle. This is today's Great Falls Tribune website, front page. This is the story about the judge who was appointed in this very high-profile political corruption case, having been appointed by the governor, who also appointed her husband to be lieutenant governor. Well, I called her office on a Friday, and by Monday, she'd recused herself. It's all over Facebook and Twitter, and I even got some donations today.
This is $100. Basically, this, I've raised enough money this week to cover the week of reporting that I put in.
I'm Eric Whitney with Montana News. Today, there were developments in a political corruption lawsuit being brought against Bozeman Republican State Representative Art Wittig. John S. Adams is covering this for the website montanafreepress.org. Thanks for joining us at Montana Public Radio.
You're welcome.
What's at stake is whether or not Art Wittig broke Montana campaign finance laws, whether or not he illegally coordinated. What's at stake is Mr. Wittig could be barred from office. Okay, I need to write and do nothing else.
A civil trial is scheduled to begin March 28th in Helena, but it could be removed from office if he violated the law.
We have our first board meeting of the Montana Free Press. After today, we'll have an actual organization that they'll be supporting, so it won't just be me. John Adams, and I know all of you, and it's been a tough year, a lot of challenges. I had thought about giving up on journalism. I'm overjoyed to have all of you here. Didn't see that coming.
The National Right to Work came into this state with their political operatives, their money, and the desire and the ability to advance its own agenda. They had a plan to just wreak havoc on the Montana elections. So we have two questions, really. Do we care enough in Montana to demand that politicians comply with our campaign laws? And secondly, if a politician does not comply, are we brave enough to hold them accountable?
I find this very interesting. The judge granted permission for an attorney from Missouri to represent Wittig in this case. This attorney represented Club for Growth in Wisconsin. The lawyer, who is victorious in Wisconsin and has led to basically a wholesale reordering of how Wisconsin regulates its campaign spending, she is now coming to Montana to represent Art Wittig.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, thank you for being here today. This case is about a man who finds himself in the crosshairs of a government agency. This man is our client, who you've heard about a little bit today, Art Wittig. Art had spent his life serving in the community, during weekdays helping clients as an attorney, on Saturday mornings as his daughter's soccer coach, and on Sundays in his church. And when Art held Mr. Modell's letter in his hands, in Art's mind, something good had turned into something bad. By then, he'll tell you, Art already knew what he was seeing. The opening scene of a government overreach horror story. Exactly the thing he had run for office to prevent.
Let's be seated.
The trial of State Representative Art Wittig got underway. Covering the trial for us is John S. Adams, the editor at MontanaFreePress.org.
This trial is about whether or not Art Wittig illegally accepted contributions from corporations and didn't disclose that.
Three things that the jury will have to decide is, was there a corporate contribution? Did Wittig coordinate with that corporate entity? And if so, what was the value of that contribution?
So let's go to Exhibit 11, please. Now, the title of this page up here is Smart, Simple Campaigns. And under number one, it says candidates need to provide first list of contact for fundraising mail. I'm paraphrasing.
Yes.
And you filled out a candidate profile. That's B. Right?
I filled out a candidate profile.
You provided a candidate photo, that's C. Right?
I provided a photo for a website. I don't remember ever seeing this.
I'm just saying whether you remember it or not, I'm looking at the documents that have been provided, and whether you meant to or not, it looks like you filled out or completed A through D. Correct?
I don't know. I don't think.
All right, that's fine if you don't know. I'm not going to argue with you. Do you disagree that Right to Work and its affiliates provided services in support of your campaign?
I strongly disagree.
Do you disagree as to whether or not you received the benefit of those services?
I disagree that I received any benefit.
And you didn't report any of this Right to Work provided benefits on your disclosure, did you?
Gene, it's impossible to report what you do not know.
I probably worked 1,500, 2,000 hours on this, putting this case together. It took me all that time to finally understand what was going on. And even then, I couldn't understand it from the documents. It was only when I had the opportunity to talk to some people who worked inside. Sarah, you're here from Colorado.
I am.
And you're here without being subpoenaed.
That's correct.
Why did you come?
It's the right thing to do.
What do you mean?
I believe strongly in the ideals that Christian was fighting for. I believe in Right to Work. I believe in smaller government and pro-life things and pro-Second Amendment things. But I want to see it done the right way. We can't fight evil by becoming evil.
Are you here at risk to yourself or your own profession?
I am. I fully expect there will be political retribution exacted against me in Colorado over this from Christian's friends who are there.
The big thing today was the surprise testimony of Sarah Arnold. She worked for the National Right to Work Committee, which is the organization that's alleged to have run this sophisticated campaign program that Art Wittig is accused of illegally benefiting from.
Was there a party at the LaFleur's house in that July 4th weekend?
There was.
What was that?
It was what we call a bonfire. It was essentially a metal drum that we threw documents into and threw gasoline in and lit them on fire.
What documents were those?
As I recall, they were from predominantly 2008, and Christian said that he was under some heat and wanted to get rid of them, and so that's what we did.
Ms. Arnold, I'm going to hand you what's been marked as Exhibit 11. Would you look at that for a moment, please?
This is the Smart Simple Campaign's candidate packet. It was an outline that was provided to all of the candidates with which we worked. It outlines essentially the program, the works.
You know if Art Wittig got the works in 2010?
Yes.
Did he?
Yes.
If you promise that you would support these positions, Right to Work being number one, non-negotiable, you were their man and they would support you. And what did you want? If you wanted everything, that was called the works.
So that would be campaign plan, consulting, data.
Advice on how to run your campaign, how to talk to the press.
Walk lists.
Tailored for your particular district.
Mail.
Professionally written.
Website.
Website. Campaign slicks.
Home cards.
Life letter, gun letter, right to work letter. Just a carpet bombing in the last few weeks before the election. And a handwritten wife letter. Single most effective of all of them. That was part of the program.
The bottom line is, did Wittig know that he was receiving all of these services?
How do you know that Wittig knew what was going on? Was it a pitch? I mean, was it the same kind of pitch every time?
Totally, the same pitch. I sat around Dan Kennedy's kitchen table while he made the pitch to him. Generally, it was done on the phone. For whatever reason, that particular one was done in person. Basically, it was, I'm working with Montana Right to Work, and Right to Work's a really big issue, so let's talk about that. And if they're good on that, then he says, so there's a campaign process that we do that will help you win your race. And here's what we do. We focus on mail. We focus on walking.
And at that point, right now, you're already in the realm of coordination, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, you've already crossed that bridge.
Yep.
There has never been as much contact, as much demonstration of contact, this long, a sustained relationship, this many demonstrations of paid personal services directly from people to the candidate. This is the greatest amount of smoking gun that I have seen as commissioner or I have read in any prior decision.
He provided bank information, a list of fundraising contacts. He provided his signature template so it could be scanned on the letters.
You got direct mail, National Gun Owners, National League of Taxpayers, Western Tradition Partnership, National Pro-Life Alliance, Montana Citizens for the Right to Work, National Right to Work. I think it's eight corporations working together here to elect their man, Art Wittig, who is on board. On board. Wants the works. I'm going to call it like I see it. This man cheated. He broke the campaign laws, and it's time for him to be held accountable.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you reached your verdict?
Judge, we have, so.
All right. Would you please deliver it to the bailiff, who will deliver it to the bench?
as follows. The defendant failed to maintain and preserve records of his campaign contributions. Yes. The defendant accept or receive corporate contributions, including coordinated in-kind contributions. Yes. The defendant failed to report all contributions. Yes.
Conspiracies happen. Some of them are actual conspiracies, you know?
Legislators got elected based on the illegal coordination of these outside groups, and they were able to pass a lot of laws. They were able to move forward a lot of legislation that is now the law of the land.
It is a huge problem. Third-party groups and others who are working behind the scenes, coordinating with campaigns. It's not a problem just in Montana. Montana just seems to be the microcosm for it.
A judge has set a June 17 hearing in Anaconda on what penalties should be imposed on State Representative Art Wittig, whom a jury found took illegal campaign contributions.
To be there in Anaconda, right in the shadow of the stack, right where it started 100 years ago, and to now have somebody come into our state, a corporation, and start giving money and running campaigns and picking politicians. I want to speak. I want to show people. It's troubling.
State lawmaker Art Wittig of Bozeman faced the judge today to hear his penalty for accepting illegal corporate campaign contributions.
District Judge Reed Dayton did fine Wittig $68,000 Friday, one of the biggest fines ever levied in a campaign violation case in Montana.
Yet while the judge did not remove Representative Wittig from office, somebody else already has. The voters of his district. He lost the Republican primary 10 days ago, and his term expires this December. Reporting from Anaconda, Mike Dennison, MTN News. Got it.
All right, thank you, Mike. Now the thousands of snow geese that landed in the dangerous waters of the Berkeley Pit.
Back in 1995, just over 300 geese died after landing in the Berkeley Pit. It's not certain yet how many geese have died in this week's incident, but it's expected that many will die.
At first light, we saw the extent of how many waterfowl were in the area, and the pit was nearly covered with snow geese.
The numbers of dead birds are now projected to be in the thousands.
Pretty much the entire shoreline was covered with dead birds. There's a lot of sadness. There's some anger. There's some feeling that, why are we going through this again? Why hasn't this been solved by now? This is just a nightmare. It's also a sign of a larger regulatory failure.
Dear Mr. President, you decried the influence of money in politics. You condemned the influence of wealthy donors. Many of these same concerns have been voiced by Americans of all political views. I'm writing to inform you that I hereby resign from the position effective March 1, 2017. I respectfully urge you to prioritize campaign finance reform. Disclosure laws need to be strengthened, Citizens United re-examined, and public financing of candidates ought to be expanded. I see the Federal Election Commission as almost a test case for the dismantling of our government institutions and our democracy. There's so much dark money now that we don't know whether there's foreign money. There probably is. Probably a lot. There is clearly campaigning taking place on the internet, and it's completely unregulated. This is where politicking is going. It's going to be truly the Wild West.
the only way our political process is going to change is if people voice their anger. Throughout this country, people are saying, we do not want the campaign finance system that we now have.
The Disclose Act, signed into law by Governor Steve Bullock, pushed Montana among the 10 states with an A rating.
Montana got an A rating today in a scorecard measuring disclosure and transparency requirements.
Montana really stands as a beacon of hope and an example for other states to follow.
Seattle is the first city in the nation to offer democracy vouchers. Voters approved the vouchers as a way to get big money out of local politics.
Voters approved political reforms in South Dakota, including public financing for candidates. Later today, South Dakota lawmakers are expected to repeal those reforms.
In state Supreme Court elections, the trends are going in one direction, up.
So much dark money is being spent undercover on Facebook or Twitter or Google.
How much were they used by some of the Russian trolls?
The specter of the Watergate scandal increasingly hangs over the administration.
We, as citizens, have a right to know that we're not being duped.
We're untethered a little bit. This is scary stuff. But I think in some respects, this is kind of the proving ground now for the American experiment.